Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio here on YouTube and MidwestPrayerTalkRadio.com. I'm the G-Man. That is Deb. And tonight we have Seb Talk with us, and we're going to have a sit-down chat and learn a little bit about her and what she has going on. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor. Mm-hmm.
Turn off my phone so it doesn't beep.
But no, so, I just a pop-up message just came up here about trouble streaming to your destination.
It's probably that Rumble thing.
Oh. Ah.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay. Sorry, Seb.
It's okay.
Right as we went live, it's like all over my screen.
Well, like I said, I'm trying to get it to go live to two places at the same time. And I mean, there's a little learning curve. You was asking about StreamYard. There is a little learning curve, but messing around with it, it seems that, you know, last week I didn't know it was there. This week I did. And of course it messed up. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Okay. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have going on, and then we'll just get right into it.
All right. Thank you. Well, I met Deb a couple years ago. I mean, I met you in person last year.
Oh, yeah.
I met you on Zoom a couple years ago.
Yeah, it might have been at some group meeting, that online Zoom meeting.
Okay. I remember. Yeah. And I'm an experiencer since childhood, but I hid it until about 5 or 6 years ago when I wrote a book called You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. And that was my coming out. And now I help experiencers. I'm an experiencer advocate, and I help experiencers around the world process and deal and understand their remarkable events. And if anyone needs help processing or understanding their ET contact, they can go to my website and tell me their story and I'll respond. I also have private consultations that delve a little deeper. I do believe from all the interviews and investigations I've done that ET contact can benefit us in a very beautiful, profound way, benefit us individually, and then that will turn into a collective transformation. And I believe that we're being contacted individually, because it's through the individual that we're going to transform the collective. We can't have a mass sighting right now. That just won't work. So in order to help, this is what all the visits are about, to help us individually, to help mankind. Don't you think, Deb?
Yes, I do. I agree with that 100%. Everybody's experience is different. Even the non-human intelligence that they have contact with could be different. Some people, you know, see gray. Some people see reptilian. There's a whole bunch of different kind. Mm-hmm. But I think each person's contact is that's made for them. And like you said, we take our experiences and it goes to the collective. I don't feel like the disclosure that everybody's been talking about here lately, ever since about 2017, I don't feel like that's going to come from a government or anything like that. I think it's going to come from folks like you and me that have these experiences. And that I made a comment not too long ago to somebody, and I think you'll might agree with me too. Like when a mother wakes her child up, she doesn't walk into the room and scream, "Get up, get up, get up." She is gentle and, you know, whispers, "It's time to get up," you know. And I feel like that's what we're doing. We're whispering, "Time to wake up, you know, it's time to get up."
Mm-hmm. That's a nice analogy. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I think in analogies, because sometimes I don't have the best words. My brain works faster than my mouth can keep up with, I should say. So I think a lot in visuals. So that's how I come to things like that. But yeah, except I said, unless you're my sons and I have to come in your room 3 times and then there'll be some screaming. Yeah.
Well, third time. Right. Yeah.
But so I agree with you that you know, and what you're doing, what you do, helping other people, you know, then that seems like you've figured out that that's your mission, you know, your destiny in life. I can relate to that as well. I do it on a smaller scale than you do, you know, but still, mm-hmm. I understand. And it's great. All the things that you do is great.
Thank you. It was in 2018, Alien Con in Baltimore, and my book had just come out. And then Alien Con called me and they're like, congratulations, you're a speaker. I was like, oh my gosh. It was like I was going to come out for the first time ever at a conference at Alien Con in Baltimore, Maryland, which meant a lot to me because I went to Loyola University in Baltimore, and my mom and my sister live in Baltimore, and I lived in Baltimore for decades, and I had a lot of ET contact there. Now I'm in North Carolina. And so to come out in Baltimore was very significant for me. And I had a fantastic time. And the room was full. And for the first time, I stood up in front of a whole bunch of strangers and told my story. And I was so supported. It was just so nice. And then when I was sitting at my vendor table with my book, so many people came up to me. You probably know what this is like. And they say, I've never told anyone this before. And then they would tell me their ET contact story. And I could feel their relief. And then that's when I realized, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to help experiences around the world. I want to give them some relief. They can have relief. It all has to do with your perspective. Because I was afraid of it for decades. And now I'm not afraid of it. So I know what that process is like. And I know how wonderful it is on the other side when you're not afraid of it anymore. Your life is so different.
Exactly. Yes.
Sir. Yes.
I totally 100%. You know, my experiences started out scary and traumatic and, you know, painful sometimes. But I managed to adapt to it and work through it and actually use it to make me stronger and better. And the point of my, the things that I do now are to try to help people see that you can have these experiences and you can be afraid and you can be angry and that's okay, but you can also be better. You know, you can become stronger because of it. And I want to just people to see me and look, I'm still here. And I'm still chugging along. And I'm like you. I felt blessed that I had support of people around me because so many people out there like us don't. And I kind of, a part of me wanted to like pay it forward. You know what I mean? And I know that you are the same way. You've done lots of stuff. You were doing stuff before you came out with your spiritual counseling and things like that.
Yes. Do soul purpose sessions, and I've been doing them for 14 years before I got into the whole ET thing. And they're information, interdimensional, multidimensional information that comes through, excuse me, from my client. And we can all do this. It's information from my client's energy field, from their guides, from my guides. And also there's information that just floats around us. We live in this matrix of information. You can pluck information out of that too. And so this is something we can all do. It just takes practice. And then what comes out from my client is why they're here, their purpose, and how that can manifest it, and what some of their best career paths are, and how they can manifest that. And a past life is divulged that explains something that's going on now, although I don't like the term past life. I call them consciousnesses because I believe everything's happening simultaneously.
Yep. Yes, yeah. I get that 100%. Totally. Yeah. Do you feel like your the ET contact that you had had anything to do with your ability, or do you think your abilities came first and attracted the ET contact?
Yeah, it's the chicken or the egg thing. I don't know. I don't know. I've thought about that a lot. If we believe that we have experiences before we come into this life, which I think we do, it could very well be that I have an experience in the past with ETs outside of this consciousness known as Sev. So maybe I came into this life knowing this information and maybe having psi abilities that might be a little stronger than the average person. But I don't like saying that because we all have strong psychic abilities. We just have to know we have them, and then we have to use them. We have to focus on them. But one thing that the ETs do share knowledge about, excuse me, is how to strengthen your psychic abilities. Because we've heard the stories, or we've met experiencers who were on ships when they were little, and they were taught how to play psychic games, how to move things with their minds. So it is very, it's very possible. Because my first conscious memory of ET contact started at age 10.
I was going to ask you if you could, if you wanted to share with our listeners your first memories of ET contact. Because I heard you when you were speaking in San Francisco, you told the story and I thought it was fascinating.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So when I was 10, we were living in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm originally from Istanbul, Turkey. And my parents and I emigrated first to Canada when I was a little girl, when my sister was born. And then we came into the D.C. area. And that's where I grew up pretty much. And I started first grade not knowing English. I taught my parents English. I learned English from Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And so we're living in the DC suburbs. I'm 10 years old. And at night, I would find myself outside. And this happened so many times between 10 and 12 that I lost count. And there'd be a spaceship coming. And each time it'd come from a different direction. And then it would come and hover right over me. And it was so big that I couldn't see the sky. And it would land. And I would be so happy because it felt like I was seeing a relative. And the door would open and stairs would descend. And then out would come this being and walk down to greet me. And the being looked more human than not. It was a male. He had dark hair, black, and dark or black clothes. The only difference I could see were that his ears were just slightly elongated, just a little bit, but nothing like Spock. And I wasn't into Star Trek or anything like that. So he would just be checking up on me, making sure I was okay. And this went on for a couple of years. And the last time I was 12, and this time I was with a group of children. And I had never been with other kids before. It had always been just him and I. And we were watching the spaceship fly away, and we were really sad because we knew we weren't going to see him again. And I heard in my head, okay, get to work. You have a job to do. And I'm 12. I have no idea what this means. So, ding, I pop back into my bedroom. And that's what it feels like after ET contact. It feels like you're dropped from one dimension into another dimension, but you're fully alert and awake when you land. There's no grogginess or sleepiness or anything. It's just ding, I'm awake in my bedroom. And I'd be so confused because, and this is hard to describe or explain, but the reality in my bedroom didn't feel as real as being with my space brother. That felt real. And being in my bedroom did not feel real. And that was very confusing to me too. And then I would tell myself, okay, it's time to get dressed, go to fifth grade, and just forget about this and just try to be normal. That's what I did for decades. I would just try to be normal. There's this huge secret. I'm trying to be happy, trying to be successful, trying to have happy relationships. Well, I have this crazy secret. It's a deep fear too. But I wasn't afraid of that being. I was afraid of the grays. I'm not afraid of
them. Were.
Yeah. And I've also come in contact with other light beings, and they gave me a lot of messages, and that was a beautiful experience. They gave me information about Disney and Tesla and Tchaikovsky and how to activate your DNA. I call them the blues. But the grays I've come in contact with many times. And I used to think they were victimizing me because that's how I used to live my life. I was a victim. I've had two abusive marriages, and I just thought everything was happening to me. And so I just assumed, well, the Grays are abusing me too then. But when I decided to face what's happening, what's going on with me, and I'll tell you why, I'll tell you that story, I realized that the Grays were not against me. They're not evil. They weren't trying to hurt me. That was just my perspective. I thought everybody was out to get me. And so when I changed my perspective, I realized the Grays have been trying to help me this whole time. They're my friends, and they have helped me. They've helped me bump out of this victimization vibe, which completely changed my life. And you said, you know what, you understand what I'm talking about, Deb?
Yes, I do. Yep. And I've met a lot of experiencers that feel that in the beginning also, that victimization, that feel like a victim. And you know, my attitude with that is, at least for my personal self, is it's okay to feel that way if you feel that way, but it's not okay for you. It's not helpful to dwell in it. You need to move past it and grow out of it. So,
absolutely. You can't heal in the victim vibe. Mm-hmm. So I help experiencers maybe change their perspective, or at least offer a different perspective where they can see that there's so much benefit from this contact. First of all, it's absolutely remarkable. It's the most incredible experience we can possibly have. And then society wants us to be embarrassed about it and wants us to hide it. And that's a shame. And so I'm talking because I don't think we should hide it. And I don't think we should be embarrassed about it. But at the same time, if you don't want to talk out loud about it, don't. But it's important that you at least come out to yourself, come out to somebody, me, out to MUFON, I'm the state director for North Carolina, or come out to Deb. There's a few of us out here who do this kind of work. Not many of us, but there are a few of us.
Yeah, it's sometimes it helps people just to see other people talk about their experiences and not be afraid to talk about it. You know, because when Intruders first came out, you know, because we had pseudonyms. And even the place where it happened in the book is actually the name of it, Copley Woods. That's a pseudonym. But that was, first of all, 40 years ago. Attitudes were a bit different. And also my kids were little and young, and I was younger in different headspace. My family was all involved. We all wanted to kind of buffer ourselves. You know, but now I'm like where you're at. I want to be out there talking about my story, telling my story, showing other people that have had these experiences that it's okay to talk about it. Where I moderate that Zero Facebook website, Facebook page, along with Beverly Moore. And it gives people a place that they can come and tell their story with no judgment. Just because I haven't had the same experience you have, that doesn't mean your experience didn't happen. And you have a right to speak of it, talk about it, you know, and I'm going to listen to it. I don't judge any other people's experiences. I can only speak for my own, but I can listen for everyone and be a support, because you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I've been fortunate to have support, and you also had support more than most people. Some people don't have anybody to say you're okay. You're all right. This is real and you're okay.
I really didn't have anyone tell me I was okay. Well, I really didn't have support because I was hiding it. Right. So it was when I moved here to North Carolina. It was my first night or my second night here. I was marked. I had an encounter with the Grays, and they burned these two red X marks into my back. And
I've seen those pictures. They're wild.
Yes. And that's what made me come out. I found Kathleen Martin, who helped me a lot. And I was with a gentleman at the time who was very supportive. And he was the first one I told. This was the first time I was telling anybody, and he was right there, and he was very, very supportive. And the gentleman I was just with that recently ended, he was very supportive too. But all that came much later in my life. I could have told my parents, because they were very innovative, very open-minded, very forward-thinking, and they were believers, 100%. But I didn't, and I don't know why.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why either. Greg, do you have any questions for our guest?
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking. Well, it happens sometimes.
Sometimes.
But you know, I mean, I've heard Deb's story quite a few times, and I've heard other experiencers talk and give their stories of and encounters of what's happened. And I use stories lightly. I'm not trying to diminish anybody's encounters.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. But why? Why abduct? Why do things that have been done? I mean, is it just research? Is there something in a bigger scale of what's going to happen that they need whatever DNA or whatever to make this happen? Like, Deb's encounters were Gray's.
Do you hear that? Yes.
Okay, now let me just preface this. Every time we do a show like this, we have technical problems and weird things happen. I'm just saying. Okay. Every time. Never fails.
He's looking out the door. My door is like a big glass, and he's looking at it. I think there's a cat on the other side. This is very strange. I need to go and
check.
Yeah, go do that.
It's okay. That's cool. No problem. No worries. Because it sounds like he's saying, "Ma."
Right. But you know what I mean? I mean, like, you've encountered the Grays.
Yeah.
Her encounter is more like the Men in Black ish scenario.
Well, she was younger. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that either. Sometimes I wondered if it had the reason that I had contact like that all my life when I was young was maybe the family I was born into, because it was kind of generational for my family. So mm-hmm. I don't know if there was just the following of the genetics in my particular line, and that's it was because of who I was born to, you know.
And that's a good point too. Is it multi-generational? So your probably. Great, 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 great grandfather had an experience and it's come down the line.
Yes.
Do you feel that your parent, one of your parents maybe, or grandparents had an experience like this possibly?
Oh my gosh, this cat. I think I have to put the cat in the bedroom. I am so sorry.
No worries.
There's an attack there.
Take care of that baby.
Oh, there.
No, that's it. There's another cat out the door. Yeah, that'll do it. Where'd you go, Greg? Oh my boy, this is an interesting show tonight. I hope y'all can see me. I hope y'all can see me. Oh, hold on. Oh, there's the chat. I just now found chat. I don't know why I hadn't seen the chat before. Hello, John. Welcome to.
All right. I'm so sorry. There was a cat at the front door outside.
Oh, neighbor wanted to know if he could come out and play.
Right.
Or I don't know.
Cats. Okay.
So anyway, my question was, do you feel like maybe you're one of your parents or one of your grandparents or somebody in your family has had also these kind of experiences?
Yeah. That's interesting. So both of my parents were very psychic. They were really plugged in. And my dad also channeled, and I started channeling at age 16. And he's had a lot of very interesting experiences. My dad was a genius. He wrote his own theory of gravity and astrophysics. And they never really describe their experiences or supernatural or paranormal experiences in terms of ETs. And I don't know if that's because they just didn't view them that way. Maybe they were, but maybe to them they were more supernatural or paranormal. Mm-hmm. When I was talking to the ETs, I asked them about my parents and about my sister. And they said that we were all contacted. and that my mom and my sister just didn't want it. My dad was a little interested, but he was more interested in the supernatural aspects of things. But he was making contact, but he never described it as ET contact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. Yeah. I could say the same thing about my own father to a certain extent. You know, he was very psychic. My dad was a genius. He was a ham radio operator, the youngest one in the state of Indiana, the youngest person in the state of Indiana for the longest time to hold a class A master electrician's license. And he didn't graduate from high school. But yeah, and then he ended up teaching ham radio and at Ivy Tech in Indy years back. He restored Indian motorcycles. He restored Alpine Sunbeam cars. He built radio control airplanes, giant size ones from his own schematics. You know, he was teaching me how to do wire harnesses on Heathkit radios when I was 13. So I kind of got a little...
whatever that means. Okay, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, to install wire harnesses and things, you know. But, and I... And his mother always said he was psychic. Like when he was a little kid, one time he got off the school bus. He got on the school bus, and then coming home, he refused to get off the bus on their neighborhood because he said the neighborhood was on fire. And the next morning, the neighborhood was on fire. My grandma said he was born with a veil over his face. Do you remember that old adage? I think he was born in the sack intact or whatever. They called it having a veil. And he said he could smell death, you know. And
he could smell when people were going to die.
Yes. He said death had a smell and he could smell it, which I don't know what it smelled like, but I can tell you when my mom passed away, I was up at the hospital with her for 24 hours because I knew it was close. And daddy had gone home. And at like midnight, I hear this old man shuffling, making noise in the hallway of the hospital room. And my dad slipped. He comes in to the hospital room. My brother said he called me and made me come and get him. And I'm like, why are you here? And he goes, your mother called me. And I go, no, she didn't. She's been asleep on the bed here for hours. And he goes, did I say she used the phone? My God, she passed away the next morning. He didn't leave her side then. So, I mean, I seen some of this in action. And then when the stuff happened in 83, you know, he was all gung-ho trying to investigate it and everything. So I could say the same thing about my father. So I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense to me.
And when you're that plugged in, you're communicating with other beings. You just can't help it.
And you don't even realize it, I think, sometimes. Yeah, it's just a lot of times, natural.
Right. It is very natural. Yeah. Just like there are millions of people who are having ET contact and don't know it because they think it's a dream.
Because exactly.
It's this interdimensional, multidimensional, hazy kind of experience. But you know, it's not a dream, but it feels like a dream. It's very confusing. When you try and explain it to someone, you're like, that wasn't a dream. They're like, yeah, right. You're like, no, you can feel the difference. And the other thing is when you think of that so-called dream decades later, you can still feel the emotions like it just happened. And that's not a dream. And then when I had the two X marks on my tush, that's when I'm like, oh my God, these are not dreams. So this whole time, I've really been in contact this whole time. And that threw me into an existential crisis. Yeah.
It's definitely something that you have to get used to slowly. I mean, you can't because it's thrown on top of you, but you just have to, you know, take it a little bit at a time. I had to take it a little bit at a time till it finally was able to take it in. But do you feel that, now I just had a great question in my head and my brain just, and off it went. doggone it. Maybe it'll come back. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, dude. I'm still struggling to remember this great question I just had.
Now, do you think that abductees are and I hate to set go like all X-Files, but they are you implanted with like premonitions or future events that you know, okay, this is shady and we need to do something here to take care of that. I mean, is that, you think, all kind of reprogrammed into the brain of having an encounter like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's shady? You said something shady.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the tape now. I'm old too.
Okay. All right.
This has just been a bit of a strange evening here.
I keep dropping my internet, if that tells you anything.
Well, you keep disappearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I'm still here.
And I don't know if I even answered your previous question. I think I started to answer it, and I think I might have just gone off on a tangent. Did your previous question, didn't you want to know why? Like, why is this happening? You were asking.
Yeah, I mean, why are they abducting humans? Is it just, are we a big petri dish? Or is it something on a larger scale? Is it something that, like you two had mentioned earlier, preparing individuals for exposure versus disclosure? You know what I mean?
Exposure versus disclosure. Okay. I can really only speak from my personal experience and also share the experiences the experiences of the thousands of people that I've talked to around the world who've made ET contact. So from my own personal experience, I have learned that there are many reasons why this is happening. One reason is because of the hybridization program. And I could talk about that because I had this really interesting encounter in Roswell, New Mexico, with my partner at the time in Roswell. And I got a lot of information about the hybridization program. That was a shared experience that freaked us both out. And I've learned that there's pretty much five categories of information that the ETs are giving us humans. They're giving us information about the hybridization program, about how to strengthen our psi abilities, about future potential fate of humankind. Also, beautiful messages about self-empowerment and how to live without the government's thumb over your head, how to find autonomy, how to feel like you're in control of your life, and that, how to manifest through your mind. There's a lot of knowledge about the mind. And also about scientific innovation. It seems that these are the major categories that we're getting information about. And MILAB, military abductions, whoever's doing these, I don't know if it's the government or some other organization, let's just say it's the government, and they're interested in what we're being told. And these MILAB are really debriefings. They want to know what we're being taught, and also some of us are being asked to do things, to perform things. I was asked to do something with my mind. It was a psychic something, and I refused because I knew it was bad. I knew it was not going to be a good thing. And then there was torture. I was tortured.
You were asked by the humans to do something? Okay.
Yeah, in the MILAB experience. Right. So I have five or six conscious MILAB experiences. One of them was absolutely horrendous. Another one was really bad. And then the others were just neutral. Because I've never heard of anyone had like, oh, that was a delightful MILAB experience. I'd like to do that again. That doesn't
I don't think that is a thing.
I don't think so either. It seems like when human beings get involved, it just falls apart and gets really ugly. Because there's a hybridization program I know about between the grays and the humans. But in my MILAB experience, I was asked to heal very sickly hybrid babies. And there were humans involved. And so when a human's involved, there's sickly hybrid babies. In the other hybridization program with the grays, I didn't see any sickly babies. So I'm not quite sure what's going on. Maybe there's a variety of different programs. Maybe the humans are trying to get their hands into everything, and because they're not as knowledgeable as the ETs, they're not doing it correctly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see your point. The babies are only sick when they're around people. It's kind of like me. People kind of make me sick. I'm more worried about them than I am what else is out there.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Human beings are more scary. Yeah.
Yes, they are. So, would you want to talk more about the hybridization program and what you learned from them?
Okay. So I had this very impromptu surprise trip to Roswell, and I was with a gentleman at the time. His name was Patrick. And he was managing this brand new radar defense program for the military that was being built on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. So we spent a year, well, he spent a year living on Kauai, and I spent a year going back and forth between Kauai and our home on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. So I was in D.C., and he calls me, and he says, I have to go to White Sands Missile Range. Have you been there?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, okay. No. Yeah, I did not like it at all. I have to go there. And why don't you meet me in El Paso? I'll pick you up. I'll show you White Sands, and then I'll take you to Roswell. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I've been wanting to go ever since I was a little girl. I knew the story. And it just came out of nowhere. So first we go to White Sands, and I never want to go back. I'm talking about the missile range. Because there's also the White Sands where you can slide down those gorgeous white gypsum hills that we did, and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. But the White Sands Missile Range, I will never, ever, ever want to go back there again. As soon as I got there, it's like all the hairs on my body stood up. And in my mind's eye, I just saw underground rooms and hallways, and it was all felt really dark and negative and nefarious. And it's also located at the base of this big black mountain. So he wanted to show me the museum and this and that. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. Finally, we're done. I run out of there. I'm like, I'm never coming back. We go to Roswell. We go to the museum. We have fun. We go to our hotel room. We're very tired. He's in the bathroom. And I'm on the bed. And I'm watching TV. And I'm flicking through the channels. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish the show People of Earth was on. Did you watch that show?
I did.
Yeah, it was only on for two seasons.
Too bad. It was funny.
So I knew it was over. The last show had already aired. I knew it wasn't going to be fun. And so he comes out of the bathroom, and I stop the TV, and he says what he has to say. I turn the TV back on. I don't even change the channel. And poof, People of Earth comes on. And I'm like, okay. And he hadn't seen it. So we watched a couple episodes, we laughed, and we fell asleep. And the next thing I know, my eyes, ding, pop open, and the room is pitch black. I cannot see my hand in front of my face. And I hear footsteps. And I feel him get into the bed. And I think to myself, why was he sitting on the couch? Was it because of the aliens? And then I fall back to sleep. Get up in the morning, he's in the shower. I'm like, why did he think he was sitting on the couch? Because he never got up in the middle of the night, sat on the couch. And why did I think it was the aliens? And then all of a sudden, just this gush, download of memory, visual, auditory, everything. And I saw that night, I was with a group of grays and we were talking. And they were giving me information about the hybridization program. They were also giving me information about a book that they wanted me to write, or I was writing. I don't remember. And at that time, I was like, who the hell are you to tell me what kind of book to write? Mm-hmm. I was. So they gave me all this hybridization information. I didn't know any of it when I went to sleep that night before. I knew nothing of it. I wake up and all of a sudden I know all this. So they told me that... there are millions involved, millions of people, both men and women, and that there's billions of embryos. And that these embryos are made kind of like slicing and dicing DNA. And for the most part, they're using people whose higher selves have agreed to this, who have maybe stronger than normal psychic abilities, and also people who are very loving, people who wear their heart on their sleeves. And so they're creating these beings to be very nurturing, very loving, because they lost their ability to be empathetic and sympathetic, and their race started to die out. And so they really want to inbreed that sympathetic, empathetic ability back into the being. And then I was also told that there was a fear within the galactic community. If a negative or low vibration entity or group got a hold of these billions of embryos, would they turn them into killing machines? And I was told they're so loving that they would make the worst killing machines ever. And then they told me, we are on the path of annihilating ourselves. We've stepped on that path, but it's not too late. We can still turn around, but we're on it. Mm-hmm. And if we do annihilate ourselves, then these embryos would be used to reseed Earth.
This planet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of this comes, and he gets out of the bathroom, and I ask him, did anything weird happen last night? He goes, oh, yeah. And he's a very, very logical person. I said, what happened? And he goes, well, there was something in the room staring at us. And I got out of bed several times to find it, and I couldn't find it, but I'm telling you, there was something in here looking right at us. And so I couldn't sleep. So I got up and I sat on the couch. And I watched you toss and turn and toss and turn. I thought you were awake. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I told him what I experienced, and it really freaked us both out. Mm-hmm. It was really, that was a hard one for me. And I mm-hmm. thought, okay, when I get back to Capitol Hill, I'll be better. Because I didn't want my clients to know at all that I'm talking to aliens at all. I thought that would absolutely ruin my practice. But when I went back to Capitol Hill, 1, 2, 3 months goes by. I can't forget it. I finally confided in a girlfriend who said, oh, well, I know a regressionist in Virginia who specializes with experiencers. And it was a 3-hour drive one way. And we went and we did that. Although I don't really talk about my experiences from regression, I like to talk about my conscious memories.
Yeah.
Only because I don't know what regression is. I believe regression is a very powerful tool. If you want to be regressed, do it. You have to be ready for it, though. And it's very powerful, very healing. I'm not against it at all. I just don't know what it is. And mm-hmm. so because of that, I tend to talk about my conscious experiences. Oh, you are?
I'm the same way. Most of my memories are spontaneously remembered. I do for years. What I think are probably memories, dreams, just because I had to live with them, you know, and we all know there's a difference between a lucid dream and a regular dream. When you get up in the morning, 90%, 95% of the time, you don't even remember you had a dream. You just get up and go about your day. And then every now and then you'll have a dream and you'll wake up and you're like, I had a dream. And then an hour later, it's gone. You know, but these other ones, these are different. These lucid dreams, the more awake you are, the more you remember, and they stick with you forever.
Yes.
And that to me, you know, and that's where a lot of the things that I called dreams fell into, you know, not necessarily everything, but some of the things that I think are memories at this point in my life. I only had 5 or 6 hypnosis sessions maybe, because, you know, 40 years ago, Bud was 1200 miles away. And mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of people around that did that sort of thing back in the day.
Right.
So I've never really spoken much about what was uncovered under hypnosis, because frankly, I think I feel like you, hypnosis is a very useful tool, but I think that it's very important that you have the right person to do it. The person that does it, needs to be qualified. Because I think that if it's done by somebody who's not qualified, it can be harmful to you. And also, you know, I'm well aware, as I'm sure you are too, there's a lot of people out there who don't think hypnosis is a good thing. And was fortunate enough to be hypnotized by a psychiatrist in New York who kind of taught me a little bit about hypnosis and what it actually is. And it's actually, at least according to Dr. Clamart, it's a heightened state of relaxation, at which point your mind is calmer and you are able to just pull more memories out. I described it as, you know, I remembered seeing the car and I knew what color it was and I could see the license plate, but I didn't remember the numbers. But then under hypnosis, I was able to focus in more and I remembered the numbers. That's the way it worked for me. So I understand completely your desire to focus more on your actual conscious memories. Mm-hmm. I think that's a healthy way to do it too, honestly. At least I know for me it was.
Yeah. A lot of people don't have conscious memories, but I think they could if they focus. And all has to do with raising your vibration and your frequency too. Because memories and information have frequency and vibration. And when you match or when you align with the frequency of that memory or that information, then you know it. And that's what we call aha moments. It's all inside of us. We just have to pair up with the frequency of it to be aware of it. The other thing I highly suggest, or not even highly suggest, but I demand that if you have regression, do not do it online.
I don't think that's a good idea. You need to be with the person.
Yes, because I was under for a couple of hours. And afterwards, there's no way I could have driven home. There's no way. I was in another world. And I'm so glad that he came with me. And he actually sat in with me and he wrote everything down. And in my book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, I dedicate an entire chapter to my regression. I write down almost word for word what happened because he took such good notes. So even though I don't talk much about it, I did dedicate an entire chapter to it in my book because I do recognize the importance of it.
Yeah, I think it is an important tool, like I said, when it's used by the correct people.
Yes.
You know, the people that are trained in it. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of you've done some television, and you've done some television and some. You were the master of ceremonies not too long ago at the MUFON conference, right?
Yes. I was honored to be the master of ceremonies at the International MUFON Symposium in 2022. And last year, I spoke and moderated an experiencer panel. And this year, I'm going to moderate an experiencer panel again. And I'm also going to present one of my cases. One of my ERT cases, which is the Experiencer Resource Team, we deal only with people who make direct contact with an ET. So I'm going to present one of my ERT cases, which is one of MUFON's top 5 cases of the year.
Nice. You know, I'm so proud of MUFON to recognize experiencers because, you know, when I first
Kathy came Martin. To the scene,
it was a nuts and bolts kind of place. You know?
Yeah. And Kathy told me that's why she started the ERT, mm-hmm. because she saw that there was a huge gap.
Yeah.
The experiences were not getting the help they needed. And they were also kind of, even now it's a much different climate. Now it's a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to talk about these things, but still it's not completely 100% friendly out there.
No. Yeah. Do you find yourself, kind of holding back a little bit sometimes in certain, you know, you can feel certain vibes from groups and of people, you know, I mean, I sometimes hold back a little bit. I could get really crazy, but do you do that as well? Also?
Oh, very much so. I just pick up cues from who I'm with to see if they want to go there or not. For instance, with my last relationship, when we would get together with his family, nobody would ask me a single solitary question about what I did for a living. Not one.
Wow.
Okay. Like they all talked about what they did, but nobody asked me anything. Nobody asked me about a show I was on or a conference I did. Nothing.
But they were aware of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just didn't want to talk about
and
it.
And they pretty much believed too, but I think they just didn't want to go there. And so I just kept quiet. And I'm kind of used to that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I'm not complaining. It's totally okay.
I've done the same thing when I worked in a factory for 15 years, you know, when finally people started realizing who I was, you know, and everything. Yeah, I did the same thing too. And so it got to the point where people would come to me at the break room and say, hey, you know what I saw the other night? Tell me more.
See, that's just, it's just crazy to me that that's still a stigma. You know,
it shouldn't be, but it is.
No, I mean, I don't see it any difference than me being in a crowd saying I hunt ghosts. You know what I mean? There's no difference in that to me.
Oh. And you don't, you know, but you don't get the same. I've got my feet in both of them. And I can tell you, you don't get the same eye rolls and the same, you know, attitude sometimes when you say you're a paranormal investigator as you do when you say I'm a UFO experiencer or an experiencer or abductee or whatever you want to use. It's different.
There's a hillbilly bar that I was into not too long ago doing an investigation where I thought I was going to get taken around the woodshed.
Really?
For
the good old boy wasn't very excited for
with
us
the ghost hunt stuff. Okay, well, but still, yeah. It's not as bad. People are more apt to in my experience to talk.
And you're right, and it is like that, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it just, I don't know. I've known you so long that you must have broke me in right, because it's just like, oh, shit, you had that experience? Really? Tell me about it.
He always tells everyone he never saw anything in the sky or UFO related until he met me.
Not at all.
And I'm like, well, you know.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Hang around me and you'll see.
Yeah.
Bring it out in people.
We met. It was probably that same year that I saw the triangle in Whiteland. And it's the next morning that I saw the 7 black helicopters going in that direction.
Wow.
I also, after meeting Deb, saw the UFOs playing tag in the sky. It was the most bizarre thing. But yeah, I mean, everything like that. I was driving to Seymour, Indiana from Indianapolis, taking the kids back to their mom. And alongside of the road was a low flying UFO. It looked like the outer shell of like the Millennium Falcon. It was gunmetal gray and it was box shaped. And it wasn't probably 25 foot off the ground.
What do you mean? Box shaped? Was it rectangular?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know someone who saw a rectangular one.
Right. Yeah, it was probably 10 or 11 foot long, rectangular. It had lights on the bottom. And like I said, it had any Star Wars fans out there, you know what the outer shell of the Millennium Falcon looks like. Mm-hmm. It looked just like that, but gunmetal gray. Mm-hmm. I went under an underpass. It was going along with me down the highway. I got under the underpass and got on the other side and it was gone.
Oh,
I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. And no time to take a picture or anything, huh?
No, nothing at all. But I mean, it's little things like that.
Mm-hmm. They're hard to get pictures of. There was this one flying saucer that came right up to my freaking window. I couldn't believe my eyes. And the lights, there were different colored lights that were going around and around. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no way that's a flying saucer. So that has to come from the stereo or it has to come from the TV or something. No. And I'm like, okay, I have to get a picture. So I got up, and when I go to take a picture, it disappears. So I sit down, and then there it is. I'm like, oh. So I get up and go to take a picture, and it disappears. And then finally, I just saw it fly off.
That sounds a lot like the one my sister saw in 65, picked her whole car up with her in her car. It was a big saucer with colored lights underneath of it spinning around. I know, right? I don't really, my oldest sister, yeah. she actually wrote that first book with me, Abducted. We did alternating chapters, so some of her story is in that as well. Oh. This was a family thing. Wasn't just me, y'all.
Was.
It was a family thing.
Also, you mentioned Star Wars. Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, no, you go ahead if you want. Oh,
but you had mentioned Star Wars, and I have a planet in a star system named after me in Star Wars, the Sevtok planet and star system. Yes, I'm even in Wookiee.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I love that. I didn't know
now,
that.
Yeah. Tell me about how the hell do you say it? The bug people.
The mantis?
Yes.
Yes. So I don't have any recollection of meeting one, but I've interviewed many experiencers who have. And overall, I hear that they're very loving and they're very kind and they're often seen with the grays. And one experiencer actually made a painting of an experience he had on the ship. It's on my website, where he's with mantids and he's with grays. And one of the mantids is holding a rod or like some. Do you know about this, Deb? You know, sometimes these ETs are like holding a rod.
Yes, I've heard that before. So other people that have had experiences with the positive experiences with the mantis.
Yeah. Like the Men in Black thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know if that's what they do with the rod. We don't know what the rod's for.
Mm-mm. I have a question for you.
Hold on real quick. What tab is the picture under? On your website,
If you go, it's under True ET Stories.
Yes.
Uh huh. And I share some the pictures and the drawings and the stories that people have sent me anonymously because I'm not here to out anybody.
Yeah.
And so, if you contact me, it'll be private.
Right. Okay. Now I will say that I have seen a mantis alien. It was about 7 foot tall. I was doing a poker route, a motor route at night. And I was coming home and I lived out in the country then too. I must enjoy the country.
You like being a target.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. But I mean, it was brown and tall and mantis and legs were the other way around. Mm-hmm. And I'm flying up this road. I'm probably doing it. Of course, it's at night and there's nobody around and I'm doing about 70 up this road and it was coming across the road and went down into a ditch and I locked up the tires like, holy sh, what was that? Backed up. And of course it was gone. But I thought about that. I've thought about that for years.
Did I know this? Because I don't recall this.
I don't know. It was back when we lived in Franklin. And when I was doing the motor paper route.
Oh. What the heck?
This has been a bizarre night. We've had just all kinds of weird stuff. That's awesome. I love it.
So we saw a brown mantid, or was it a brown insectoid? Because there are also ones that look like ants, kind of. More ant-like or more mantid-like?
Mantis.
Okay.
It was a...
I know they're tall. Just
the shape. Yeah, I mean, it was 7 foot tall at least. The articulated legs backwards like a dog.
Oh, my God. It walked across the street?
It was walking across the street and went down into the ditch. There's a little waterway creek that went in there, walked down there. Yeah. And when I stopped, I mean, it made a screech and the tires squealed when I stopped because I was like, oh, my God. What the? And you know, if I was in my right mind, I wouldn't have stopped.
Yeah.
But the investigator side of me is like, you got to go back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. You don't have any missing time, huh? No missing time?
Not that I can recall.
Okay, there you go. You know, we're talking.
Sorry. No, I mean, seriously, though, not that, I mean, I don't think that I have, but it doesn't mean that I haven't.
Correct.
But I don't think.
Because sometimes it doesn't even have to be missing. You know, we can think, come and go through these portals very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't recollect time.
Yeah, lost. It can be 1 second to us. It could be like 5 hours to them, or 5 days, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. And then, I mean, I don't know. I guess we've had, Deb and I have had talks about it. Like, what if I was, but I don't know it? Or like, what if somebody was and they didn't know it? Like, what are the, is it health issues? Is it?
What are the symptoms?
Yeah. What do you, how do you know?
I don't know if you could not know it.
There has to be something in your subconscious, an inkling, there's a wonder,
there's an interest.
Now that you say that, I didn't start seeing any anomalies whatsoever until I met Deb.
Yeah.
And after I met Deb, and that's the thing, I've known Deb my entire life, and we only met 15 years ago.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I feel like I've known Deb for all of my existence. There's not a time that we haven't connected in some level like that.
Yeah. We're like brothers and sisters from another mother.
We've
already figured out that we must have been related, closely related in other lives, because it
had to be.
We're like the same person. Like, he's the male version of me in a lot of ways.
You're both married.
Yeah. Yep. I'm married to Dave for 30 years. He's married to Dee for, I don't know how long.
21.
Yeah.
And they recognize this relationship with the two of you, and it's totally fine that you're like brother and sister.
Yeah. He came up here not too long ago. We did a paranormal investigation together. Up here in Kokomo, where I live, at a house that's pretty notorious about being, and Greg drove all the way up from down southern Evansville. Indiana, where he's at, near Evansville. I'm in Kokomo, and spent the night here, and we all got pizza and everything, went, you know, to the investigation, and came back and crashed at my house, and then he went back home. Dave could care less.
Yeah.
You know, he's just all minding his own business, doing his own thing. It's just weird. You know, actually, I'm older than, how old are you, dude?
53.
See, and I'm 65, so I'm like the big sister. I'm a lot older.
Yeah, Indiana, she's always been cognizant of Deb and I like that. She
came up to the house one time and made that delicious cherry dumpling or whatever that
was. Yeah, she loves her some Deb.
it's all cool. It's like a bigger thing. It goes beyond the typical human stuff, really. You know what I mean? It's weird. But anyhow, that's why we try to resurrect our NPR together. We just had this click, and we just both have this drive to bring this out to anybody who will listen to us, you know, the paranormal side, the UFO side, because it's all connected.
It intersects. It can't help but intersect. I say when you're out there playing on the playground of consciousness, you're going to meet every being that there is. Every being that there is on the playground of consciousness. So you're going to be interacting with ETs. You're going to be interacting with dead people, other paranormal, supernatural beings. It's unlimited.
And I wonder sometime if that's not the case, is that we're talking and Deb and I have talked about this too, about when we do our EVP sessions and we're trying to get responses, is that interdimensional? Is that us speaking to ETs? Is that us speaking to time travelers? Like, they're in a different time than we are, and we're the ghosts to them, is when you know?
I do want to ask you something about a project that I've recently become familiar with because of Dan how do you say his name?
Harari,
that's it. He was a guest. Harari, like the Ferrari, only with an H. That's what he told me. He's a lovely guy. You are a founding member of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, and he brought me into that, and I'm just learning more about it. How is that How do you, what do you think about that? How, tell me.
I think it's wonderful. I'm so honored to be in it. And so it's an alliance of UFO people and the Hollywood types. And so we have all different types, all different levels of UFO researchers, experiencers, really well-known ufologists. And then on the Hollywood side, there's also very well-known directors and agents and producers, award-winning. And so the whole point is so that we can help really help change the narrative that the media is pushing when it comes to ET contact. And so, and we also want to be a resource for anyone if they want to, if they're looking for an experience or for a project, if they're looking for a director that has experience with working with ET contact. Yes, all of that. So it's brand new. And it just so happens that I'm going out to LA next week to film a show for the History Channel. And the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance is having an event the same time I'm going. So I'm going to stay a couple days extra. And you know the event, it's Paul Hynek's behind the scenes of Project Blue Book TV show.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you're going to be on?
Excuse me?
You're going to be on that? Is that?
Well, I'm not going to be on it, but I'm going to be able to go. They're holding it. Cool. And we're going to have, there's about 100 of us, Dan said, that are going to show up.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just for members. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be Paul and also the directors, the producers, all the people involved in that show, Project Blue Book. I watched it. I watched the first season. I did not watch the second season. It's a little controversial. It's a little controversial. Paul, who was kind enough to speak to my North Carolina MUFON chapter a few days ago, said that he was very happy with it. And that he said their goal was not to be, their goal was not to be precise, which I found interesting. I don't know if you, did you watch the first season and they did the Betty and Barney Hill one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So that was the one that was kind of like, what? If anyone's seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like that wasn't Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was an unusual one. Why they did that, I don't know. I should ask Paul why they handled it that way.
Yeah. But I'm Dan has, I'm on the website now. I'm not sure what kind of member I am. I'm that's how bad I am. I know about it. You know, I'm trying to put myself out there if anybody wants to talk to me. You know what I mean? I avoided it for a long time. I'm just self-conscious, period. Doesn't matter what I'm talking about. So I kind of get nervous when I get up on the stage or get in front of a camera. Whereas you, it seems like you're just a natural. But do you get nervous?
No. But you know, growing up, when I had to give a talk in front, you know, in high school and in college, I would get nervous because I really wasn't confident on the subject matter that the professor insisted that I give a talk about. But now I feel comfortable with the subject matter. So it's a completely different experience. I think if you're not comfortable with what you're talking about, it's scary. But if you're comfortable with what you're talking about, I think it helps a lot.
I've gotten more comfortable over the years of what I'm talking about. I mean, because basically I'm telling my story. But I always was just very self-conscious. It might be because I always was, you know, the fat girl got picked on all the time. And I think I'm just overly conscious about my appearance. You know what I mean? It wasn't so much what I was talking about.
It was
a different kind of thing for me, but I'm getting over that now. Now that I'm old, I don't care anymore.
I know that happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, anyways.
Yeah. Are you in the no filter, Deb? Is that what you're saying?
I'm in the no filter age.
Yeah, I have no filters. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think I have to say to you is mean.
I'm not mean to people at all like that. And, you know, but I just, you know, I'm not worried about him making fun of me anymore about me telling my story.
Yeah, you know? Me too. That's over. That's done with. Yeah.
That ship sailed. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to believe what I have to say, that's okay.
Yes.
I don't mind that you have the right to do that. And if you're not comfortable with it, that's how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm so glad to see that you have, you know, that you're out talking about your own experiences now. I did want to know, I'm interested in the intuitive readings and things that you do too. I mean, I kind of like that kind of stuff. I've tried to do it myself with other people. You know what I mean? I feel like I can, but I feel like I just need some guidance because I don't have any control over it. I can be super turned on, not like sexually, but I mean like turned on, like feeling everybody's vibes and stuff. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden it just goes cold and I have no control over how, you know, stop and start. Maybe I feel like someone like you could teach me so much.
I do. Yeah. I do help people channel and connect and help them learn how to control it. Cause when I was growing up, I thought it was all or nothing. It was like a faucet. It was either completely on and I was bothered constantly by dead people. That's how I started off communicating with dead people. They were constantly bothering me. I didn't know that I could say, hey, leave me alone. So instead of saying, leave me alone, give me some space, I just completely turned it off. I'm like, never talk to me again. But a couple of weeks later, I'm like, hello.
I'm lonely, come talk to me.
Where are you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what I've been interested in lately, trying to hone in on some things that I can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you bend spoons by any chance?
Yes. See?
So can I. I don't know why. I have the worst arthritic hands on the planet. I can't open a Coke bottle or a water bottle without my sticky thing to hold on to. I have these little grippy things on all the doorknobs in my house because I can't open them without it. This is pathetic. That's how bad they are. I've had 5 surgeries on my hands and I get steroid shots in them and everything else. But the old hands, when I hold that, and it can't be a cheap spoon because they just break. They just snap. But like a good Falstaff piece of silverware, you know, that's thick and heavier. Yeah. Hold on to it for just a minute. And then when my brain says now, I just start turning it. And the more I turn it and twist it, the hotter it gets.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'm done and it cools off, nobody can turn it back.
No, you can't bend it back.
Nope.
It's stuck like that. So I have one on my desk. I use it as a paperclip, like a big paperclip.
Mm-hmm. I think I showed you, I made a mobile out of all the ones I bent up.
Oh,
so I hang in the corner of my office. I don't think you might be able to see the tips of them over by the angel wings, but yeah.
You remember Yuri Geller? He's the one that started. Yuri Geller. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still around. And do you remember the golden egg? John Lennon had a UFO encounter in his apartment in Manhattan.
And then I knew that he did, but...
Well, he was given a golden egg and he gave it to Yuri Geller.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
And I think the beings that he saw were, I think he said they were like insectoid. And they were in the house and they were like in this high rise. The light comes in and then there's these beings in the house and someone else, a neighbor, also saw it. And he was talking about it very publicly until he was told to shut up. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, so you're really busy right now with your getting ready to do your traveling and you're going to be on this you're going to be, what did you say again? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm flying out to LA to be on a show on the History Channel, but I can't say the name yet. I can't say until it airs.
Okay. Yeah, I know how they do that.
Another, yeah. And there's another show that I filmed last summer that's also on the History Channel, and that'll be coming out soon. And that's called The Proof Is Out There. Also, Gaia TV, Beyond Belief with George Nouri. And the very first show I did actually also featured Terry Lovelace, and it was a Canadian docuseries. I actually have a butt double in that one.
A butt double? What?
Yes, because the X marks were on my butt.
Oh, okay.
So I have a butt double. And my girlfriend, who's an actress, she's like, wow, Sam, that's a big deal to have a butt double.
That's funny. What else you got coming up?
Well, I and Earl Grey Anderson are the new hosts for MUFON Radio. I think we'll be starting that in April next month. And I'm just really busy speaking with experiencers around the world and doing soul purpose sessions. I love doing them and teaching people how to connect with otherworldly beings. On my YouTube channel, I created this series of three videos where in the beginning I talk about how to raise your frequency, because it's really important. If you're going to go out there trying to connect with beings, do it with a high frequency. It's very important. So I talk about how to raise your frequency. And then at the end of each one has a different meditation that I created. It's a guided meditation with my voice and high frequency music to help you connect to otherworldly beings, dead people, spirit guides, whatever you want to connect to. Download information, because there's lots of excellent information out there. It's like free therapy. And it's perfect. Yeah. It's just for you. And the response has been really good to those videos.
Nice. What do you think about manifesting?
I talk a lot about manifesting in my sessions. It's all about the mind and the frequency. A lot about manifestation. I also talk a lot and help my clients redesign their personal energetic matrix so they can manifest what they want.
I need to be one of your clients. This is what I need.
All right. You want to redesign your personal energetic matrix with your mind. It's so important though, because this matrix is determining our reality and also determining the level of happiness, peace, and success that we feel.
Exactly. I feel like you think you're life, your existence, what you are, what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you got any more books coming out?
Oh, I've been trying to write a book for the past couple of years. It's time. But every time I go to write or sit down, I change my mind about what I want to write about. There's so much. What about you?
Well, I've got a way of writing now. I got two books written now. I've written two books, like 20, 30 years between them. But wow. But there's a couple of different things that I want to write a book about, just specifically, an event like the one. I want to write a book about the 17-hour bus trip that I had with that interesting man or whatever he was, when I went to New York one time to see Bud. And I mean, that whole thing is that's a book in and of itself right there, with this interaction I had with this man or whatever he was. He was definitely here because Bud met him and or talked to him on the phone, and also talked to the friend that he was staying with as well. So he was literally here on this planet, but he's definitely different.
Not from?
I don't know about, I'm not sure. But anyway, so I've got that. No. What I do is I get these ideas and I write them in these notebooks, like these spiral, each spiral bound notebook has an idea. And then I like work on outlines, like the chapter things and stuff like that. So I'm kind of working on a couple things, really only in my head right now.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. That initial phase, yeah. I think is very exciting.
Yeah. So, and I was curious that your book is available on Amazon. It's called You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you even get it on Amazon?
Yes.
Great. We're going to put the links for your book, your website, and your YouTube channel on the podcast when it gets posted up, so that
on the description of the YouTube.
Yeah, so everyone can come and check out Sev's YouTube channel, look at her videos, check her website out. That's going to be up there too. Get her book. Get her book. So
be a client.
I want to be a client.
We're great. Yeah, thank
Greg,
you.
Greg probably wants to be a client too. He's into all that. He likes to.
Yeah, I've got a lot of.
Do you know your soul?
A lot of ideas.
You know, we all share the same soul purpose, which is to love as much as possible. But we all have different ways of showing that love. Number one, love yourself as much as possible. That's where we get hung up. And then we each have our own way of how we show our love to ourselves. Like I show my love to myself by helping experiencers. And so that's my purpose right now.
I feel like my purpose right now is also to help people. Experiencers to help
we're
people.
Healers. We're also healers. We in a larger group, we're healers.
And I'm like a mothering. I want to hug everyone and mother everyone. I'm very nurturing in that way. You know.
Yeah.
And so when I hear other people telling their stories, my instinct is to immediately just hug them.
Yeah.
And I don't, because, you know, a lot of people don't like that, but that's the way I feel. So that's where I feel like I'm, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I think Greg is doing what he's supposed to be doing too, because he's here. He's doing this with me.
Yes. And,
you know, I'm kind of teaching him some new stuff along the way.
Yeah. What the heck? Did you see that? No. Okay. My screen just went really weird. Okay.
Did it really?
Yeah.
This has been
mine's been going weird all night.
You've been going away all night. And I don't know if I've just been chugging along or what. I was on with Peter Robbins, the Meanwhile Here on Earth with Kathy and Denise.
Yes, I still have to listen to that. That looks like it's powerful, potent.
And you know what? Somebody messaged me that they saw an orb, and I saw it too, but I didn't say anything. It flew around Peter. It was at Peter's place, and it flew around Peter, and I saw it, but somebody was talking in a real stream of thought, and I didn't want to interrupt them, and then it kind of got away from us. And then somebody's like, "Did you see this, the orb that was at Peter?" I'm like, "Yes. Somebody else saw it. I thought maybe it was just me." So when you watch, look for a white orb that flies around the front of Peter from behind him while we're doing this. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, our time is kind of, we can go.
We do what we want.
He's the boss. So is there anything else that you'd like to talk about before we wind down?
No, I don't think so. I think I said everything.
God, I love you. You're so cute.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure you have every opportunity to say whatever you need to say.
I believe I have. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you came and hung out with us tonight.
It was fun. I loved it. Yeah. If you ever want to have me back, I'll come back. I loved it.
Oh, gosh, anytime you want.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Also, you guys, check out in the description below. We'll go ahead and put all the information where you can find books and YouTube pages, and you can be a client and all that good jazz in the description on the YouTube page, which you have to go over there, check it out if you're listening to the podcast. And go over there, smash the subscribe and the bell notification.
Okay.
Please do. Right. Thanks for coming, and
bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Watching. Thank you.
Oh, no, technology.
How do you sign off? Do you know how to sign off?
I got it.
Yeah.
Yay!